irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. And again, sorry for the little technical errors this morning. I guess it was a little bit of the rain. We were having trouble getting connected. But that said, we have a wonderful guest for you in store today. Shonda Sumter is going to teach you how to turn your hobby into a money-making career. Shonda is the founder and queen visionary of Heartcore Business. She's a passionate business coach who has created a series of online marketing courses specifically for her own clients. Shonda is a dynamic teacher and has transformed the financial lives of thousands of people through her products and group programs. She has successfully created new business ventures for emerging and established companies, including playing a significant part in the creation of $40 million plus in new businesses, a new business for a Las Vegas real estate firm. And has also made it her mission to share with her clients the same principles and strategies that took her from a struggling entrepreneur to the CEO of a multi-million dollar empire. She is extraordinarily committed to her clients' interests and goals and is a highly sought-after speaker for corporate companies, events, and organizations around the globe. She specializes in assisting CEOs and establishes a foundation of reoccurring cash flow in their business models so that they can move on to making a bigger impact in the world. Considered to have the Midas touch, Shonda has inspired visionaries worldwide to turn their dream businesses into a reality. With her contagious energy and proven strategies, she has empowered thousands to take control of their financial circumstances while sharing their gifts with the world. Shonda lives on the beautiful coast of California with her son and partner, where she runs Heartcore Business from her oceanfront home, which is probably why we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty today. For those of you that don't live in California, it's raining out here, which means everything breaks down when it rains. So Shonda, thank you so much for being here despite the rain.
Hi, I'm glad you figured it out.
I know, technical difficulties. It's so funny. Not only do California drivers, no offense to anybody, I'm born and raised in California myself, like not know how to drive, but I find that like when it rains, everything just goes hog wire. Telephone lines go down and it just becomes a little crazy. But I'm so happy that regardless, you were able to join us today. And thank you so much for, you know, joining us to talk about this topic, because as you and I discussed, a lot of job seekers out there have these amazing passions and have these side things that they do, but they don't yet know how to make money from it or how they could actually turn something they enjoy doing, like a hobby, into a career. So how did you get into your business? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this.
Well, I will say that I have watched entrepreneurs grow inside of my life. My dad is an entrepreneur. My grandma is an entrepreneur. But I didn't think I was an entrepreneur. I actually went after working for other companies. And through working for other companies, I would just see visions. Like I would just see these crazy visions and I would talk about them. And the owners of these companies would give me a shot to just run these projects and we would just, you know, create miracles out of nothing. And so once I kind of got the coaching vibe, meaning that, you know, I didn't really actually know the coaching industry was a real industry, but Jennifer, I'd listen to Tony Robbins and I would just feel amazing. Like even when I was 16, you know what I mean? I just would feel amazing listening to his stuff. And so I was working for corporate America. My last company that I worked for was a real estate firm. I created an insane division in this real estate firm out of a vision. And then I was found myself coaching in the parking lot for like $50 an hour. And like sometimes those $50 an hour would last like an hour and a half or 2 hours. I'd be so fired up, you know, about helping these people create their businesses or create really money in their life, because they really were entrepreneurs when I started coaching them. They were just everyday people. And so long story short, I eventually felt like I was completely out of integrity because I started spending more and more time, you know, focused on helping entrepreneurs or people, you know, grow their finances. And the funny thing is for every person who started a business that nothing worked, I just want to share with you, my first whole set of clients, nobody got results.
Oh, no.
Like, it was just a spiritual journey for all of them. And it was a spiritual journey for me to transition into doing this full time. So now I can say that my clients have a hugely high success rate. But, you know, just because something's not working, you know, often leads to not feeling passionate about it or thinking that maybe there isn't a calling to do it. And the truth is that, you know, I don't know. I just think whether you start something on the side or you, you know, figure out the plan for your company, I just think you find yourself in a reoccurring conversation in your head to do something, and you have to listen to that. So that was coaching for me.
That's great. And I totally feel you. When I opened my consulting firm, most people don't realize my website, JHCCS, it makes no sense because the name of my staffing firm is J. Hill Staffing Services, and only one out of every several hundred people catches it. And I actually opened up a consulting firm for people who are looking for jobs, but I failed at that. It wasn't something, I had a hard time charging people for money. I have no problems charging corporations for money. And so I feel you. I completely struggled and failed, and then realized that what I needed to do was open a recruiting firm and then tie in an offer and give away the coaching for free, because that was something I didn't like charging people for. So it's amazing that you got to go through that for yourself too and figure out what you were meant to be doing.
No, I think that's great. But the key thing is you didn't give up.
Exactly. That's the thing is, I think that so often, like you just said, we all try something, and if right away we don't see monetary results or the results that we want from our clients or whoever it is, our tendency is to see failure as something that's insurmountable rather than just a step in the process.
Yeah, it's. I think you have to redefine failure, because I think that, like, I fail all the time, multiple times a year. And those failures tell me what's not working, so I can tweak something to make it work. So not to get all biblical on you, but even in the Bible, it talks in scripture about the fact that there will be many trials and challenges on your road to your harvest, and that you need to expect that. And the key is to walk through it with an open heart, because the minute you start to worry is the minute you get cut off, right?
You're
and
so
get
so
cut
right.
off from God, get cut off from the ideas and all you have. For someone who wants to make money, whether they're working inside of a company and there's something I call an intrapreneur, which is really, you know, you and I were talking, you know, before this show about the importance of right now people becoming, you know, financially self-reliant, being really great intrapreneurs, which are people who think like entrepreneurs, like you're the best in your job. And then there's entrepreneurs. It's critical for people to be like really kind of pushing to be the best right now, because there are 5 million jobs going away in 2020. And, you know, it's really on my heart to say that it's important for all of us to really be looking at our own financial situation. How do we make it better? And how do we make it better now? And how do we become better leaders in the process? So not quitting and failing a lot is critical for you to not take that feedback as personal and to just look at it and go, all right, well, my idea was given to me. Like, my idea can't be, I don't think any ideas are really bad. It's just people classify them as bad because they tried it a few times and it failed. But there's always a loop in or a weave somewhere that's weaving you and your idea to the ultimate destination that it's supposed to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's so funny because we were having the technical issues right before the show, and I was having one of those moments where today was a day of failing, where it was just like, ooh, that didn't work. Wow, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And right before we got in the show, I just said, you know, universe, I surrender. I'm giving it over to you, because the minute we try to like force square pegs and round holes and try to fix things, sometimes you just have to learn, like you said, from the failure and just ask yourself, wow, what's the lesson? What's missing that's going to make the greatest and highest difference in my success at whatever I do next, and just see it as part of the stepping stone, right?
Yeah, and then you have to hustle. You know, again, the Bible says you have to hustle, like you have to endure, right? So you would laugh. I'm standing outside in the rain.
Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, like, Shonda.
No, I totally am. I'm standing outside in the rain right now with literally my nanny's coat on and a little hat. And thank God I was already wearing runners. And it just is what you have to do. It's just part, like, so it's beautiful. Like, you've got your journey that you just went through, and I've got my journey that I just went through. And they're two totally different lessons and journeys. but it's coming to the same destination. And that's how you have to look at every problem. Like, there is a solution. There just is. You can't be given an idea and there's no solution. The challenge is can you figure it out? Or do you just throw your hands up in the air and just say, you know what? It is what it is. I quit. Yeah.
Yeah, because you and I could have easily done that before the show. You know, we were having technical difficulties and you could have said, oh, I give up. I could have said, oh, it's just like, you know, we can play repeat an old episode. But, you know, it's just like, okay, there's a challenge. We're presented with it. Let's figure out a way to go over, under, sideways, upside down, you know, and circumvent it. So I think that's the mentality of people who find success. So tell our listeners a little bit about your programs and how it is. So say somebody has a scarf making business. Let's say they enjoy, you know, weaving scarves in their time. They might do that for friends or family, but they get a positive response or whatever it is that they enjoy doing. What would be the first steps that people would need to take to begin to turn that hobby into a viable business?
Okay, so most people think you start with the product. So it's great if you're one of those lucky people that you already know what you're good at and you're getting good feedback back from like your family, your friends, like with the scarf example. That's rare.
Okay.
I mean, that's rare. It's rare because there's a lot of people are sitting in a position where, and I'll answer that question, but there are a lot of people who are sitting in a situation where they're, let's say, in a job they love, but they don't make enough money. And they might be capped at that job. Like, they don't have either the skill set to go further or the opportunity isn't in their company, but they love their company. Right. And then you've got the people who can't stand their company and just want out. Right.
Exactly,
so you got both situations going on. But it's important for an individual to know that you're self-empowered financially. And so the first thing you do, whether you're the brilliant person who is lucky enough to know what you're good at, or you're the person who just wants to create something on the side because you are responsible for your own money intake, your own wealth building. And that is the first thing you need to do is you need to build an audience. So, you know, we were talking before about the fact that, you know, it's great podcasting and these type of shows, you know, you build an audience of people that are listening. And that's the most important thing over and above even the product that you sell. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Most people, like how you were talking about, like your business where you had the consulting, you know, opportunity and you felt odd, like charging for coaching, right?
Right.
So you figured out your way. However, there's still a model there where you could. Somebody's walking by me. There's a model there where you could actually, with let's say an email list. There's $68 billion a year in business that's done through email marketing right now. Just pay attention to, like, Kate Hudson's company, Fabletics. You know, if you don't know it, it's a great company. They sell all of their clothes online. You've got Spanx. I just consulted with Sarah Blakely in Atlanta, who owns Spanx, the undergarments, right, that make your body look amazing. You know, all these companies market through email marketing, and they keep you buying. There's a company called Free People. I hated the clothes at Free People. Now I'm an avid buyer because of their email marketing. I mean, I swear I've probably spent $2,000 on clothes in the last like 2-3 months on that site just from their email marketing. So let me tie this in so everybody understands this. If you build an audience in the form of an email list, first of all, it doesn't cost you a lot to market to them. There's some companies like MailChimp that allow you to have either 2,000 or 5,000 free names, meaning that they don't even charge you for the technology. But you can send out one email in just the click of a button to a bunch of people. Right, which I'm calling your audience. So imagine if you're a little nervous about making your offer for coaching or making your offer to outside people to sell your scarves, or you don't even know how to sell your scarves. Like, what do I say to someone? Or how do I create like a picture or a graphic that gets somebody to click on it and buy it without talking to someone? There's a learning curve in all of that. And so I really recommend that people, if they want to create a side hustle, or they want to start their own business, instead of starting with the product, start with building the audience. Hmm. And if you build the audience through an email list, it's kind of backwards, but I'm really big on it not costing you, you know, remortgaging your house to be able to build a business. Like, I bootstrapped my company from nothing, making $2,000 in a year to multiple millions in just a couple years, right? Now we're focused on crossing the eight-figure mark this year. And so my point is everything comes from that email list. It's still 80% of my business is done through my email list. 80%. You know, and we sell $10,000 items to people who have never met me on my email list. So you can learn through the email list. You can get good. Like, I got good with my email list. I didn't start good. I mean, I would write an email and it has spelling mistakes. I've got dyslexia. You know, it was a mess. Like, it was, people would email me back and say, I wouldn't buy from you. You can't even spell, you know.
Oh, my
gosh.
But
I learned, and I didn't have to remortgage my house in the process, right? Actually, I didn't have a house, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I learned. So building your audience first is critical, and it sounds backwards because we're so hardwired to figure out how will we make money, what will we sell to bring in the money, where you've got to have a lot of faith when you're building additional income into your life. And the faith is have the faith that I have personally done this thousands of times, at least 3,500 with people. And you have got to build the audience first if you really want to kind of learn how to make great offers, learn how to put together good emails, learn, you know, how to maybe even like when you move into like Facebook Live or getting more technical with webinars and things like that, otherwise selling virtually. All of that's much easier if you have an email list because you can grow up with them. And I've had so many people say to me, oh my God, I remember you like just 4 years ago. And oh my gosh, you've changed so much in 4 years. And now I have people following my journey of, you know, I just had a miscarriage. And then, you know, now I'm doing IVF, you know, and they're following my journey. So they're with me. They're close. They're like walking the beach with me daily. But that makes us connected. And through that connection, which costs me pretty much nothing or very low cost, you know, it creates an opportunity. So when I do make an offer, just like if you were, you know, making an offer to your friends to buy your scarves, if I do make an offer to that email list or when I do, they're so connected with my personal life that they feel like they know me. Does that make sense?
It does. So here's my question, because again, I love this. And I totally, you know, remember learning a lot about this when I opened my company 7 years ago. And I think it's awesome that you definitely, once you have the email list, I completely agree with you 100%. You have such an amazing audience to market to. I still use my email list to help with the charity events I throw every other year. But for our listeners who might not be familiar with what you're saying, how does one build an audience list, particularly without having a product? And at what point do you start emailing that list to build the following, from your perspective?
Okay, so let's even go to podcasting for a second. You've got Lewis Howe, right, in my industry. He emails every single podcast he does to his email list. So he creates the connection and more credibility and more juice on what he's doing as he's like interviewing great people. I don't know this for sure, but I think he actually podcasted for 2 years and built his email list and his audience before he started making offers. If I remember that correctly, I'd have to ask him to really find that out. But I'm pretty sure he built that credibility for 2 years. I didn't. I just couldn't survive on waiting 2 years to make money. So what I would do is I would do like an interview series like you're doing right now, like where you're interviewing people on podcasts. I would actually interview people through like instant teleseminar and record our interview and create like kind of like an Oprah show, like Super Soul Sundays. And those people that I interview would actually share their interview with their audiences, which then would grow my email list and my audience. I don't get technical around it, but it's a very simple process. But I would make offers about every 20 interviews.
Wow.
But you can send out an interview a day, right? So about every 20 days, I could actually make an offer to that email list. And I also market cold. And what I mean by that is like a lot of people want to run Facebook ads or they want to do something more technical, which I do. But that takes a long time to warm up those people to a buy. Where interviews, like anybody listening to you and I right now, they already know if they like us because they're still listening, or they don't, right?
True.
Or they
very
don't.
True.
And so they know, they're like, there might be something you say or I say that they're like, oh, that makes so much sense. And then they start talking about it with their friends, and then they're like in the process, and they're actually in the process still with us because of these interview formats. And I think that the most powerful way is to build an audience. But if you don't know what your product is first, I would say start with, and I'm actually doing a whole challenge around this starting next week, but start with the thought process of what have you mastered in your life? Like, what have you mastered or you have, like, absolute experience with? So when I started my business, I mastered spotting great opportunities, like the real estate company. I would just see these visions and these opportunities. I like, could cultivate them, and I could pitch them to whoever the boss was. So for anybody who wanted a raise or anybody who wanted a promotion or anybody who was an entrepreneur who wanted to, like, get themselves to have enough courage to take action really quickly and have something work out, that's all I taught. And I called it the art of receiving money. And so that's all I taught, right? So, and I created it in about 45 minutes. And the reason why that's important for everybody to understand is when you're trying to create something to sell that is not coming from an authentic place, like it really hasn't been something that's moved through your life or something that you've mastered in your life. And everybody's mastered something. I have people who teach parenting, who just raised great kids. You know what I mean? And so they teach their knowledge around how to raise, like, great kids. I have a client who's raised 5 great kids and has an incredibly thriving marriage with her husband of, like, 30-something years, right? And so she can teach a lot of people on how do you keep that homebound connection and really thriving kids. So she does, and she's sold out. Right? Wow. Like, I remember when she started, she sold her services for $100. And now I text messaged her 2 days ago and asked her what she's selling at now, because I have over 400 clients. And she said she is selling for a day with her for 5 hours at $6,600 now. For
That's
5 hours.
Amazing.
And 1 hour
That's great.
Of that is, it's crazy, right? But it's like something that she does really good. So everybody has something like that. And often we downplay it as it's not really, like, we take it for granted because we're just so good at it. But that is actually the beginning of an incredible company. An incredible company. It's the beginning of a movement if you choose to work it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. That's how I fell into opening my own company, is people just kept saying, oh, you should do this on radio. Oh, you should do this on TV. Oh my gosh, nobody's ever told me that before. And I'm like, who, me? I was like a 20-something kid when this all started. And lo and behold, here we are 7 years later. And like you said, it's all just about being willing to look at, we all have knowledge to impart. And I remember one of my mentors years ago, who's a social media expert, he said, the only thing you need to be an expert is to be one step ahead of the person behind you. And that's it. And it's really that simple. Is
that's
that
right.
Like, you know, it's that one step that can make the hugest difference and be a leap for other people. But for you, it was just one step forward.
Yeah. And then it keeps growing, right? Like, I never would have thought I would be teaching how to build an email list and how to sell to people, and now how to scale companies and how to build teams around you and self-manage companies. I never thought I'd be, I didn't know I was going to teach all of this, but I've done it over the years. And because I've done it over the years, now there's a demand for people who look at my life and my company and go, I want that too. And so you just pay it forward. A great business is all about just paying it forward.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Whenever I meet somebody who's struggling with their career or relationship or anything in life, personally or professionally, the first advice I give them is start with an act of kindness. Do something for another human being, and automatically you're going to get yourself out of that depressive, negative, reactive state and put yourself into a proactive, sharing, pay it forward state.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. That's why I tithe. You know,
so
last year I decided, you hear me talking about referencing the Bible a lot because I've been spiritual my whole life, reading A Course in Miracles and working with shamans and all that type of work. And finally, I just realized, wow, like, I keep saying that I'm spiritual, not religious. Like, what's that about? And so I decided to read the Bible cover to cover.
Holy
last
moly.
Year, and I understood almost none of it. And then, but I stuck with it. And this year I understand absolutely all of it. And it's been so fulfilling. But one of the things that I read, one of the 6 things all year, there were only 6 days, like 6 sets of scripture that I actually understood of the whole year. So you could imagine like the determination to stay committed to that. And one of the things that stood out to me was tithing, and that try tithing for 6 months. And just like, I'll like, give me a chance, like God saying, just tithe for 6 months. And I started tithing, and like tithing big, like $10,000 tithes, right? And I started tithing every single month, and the craziest things would happen. So it comes back to what you're saying. When you give it, and money, when you give money, it's whatever you give comes back, right? So when you give money, and not just an offering or a give, but you actually tithe on a monthly basis, what you're doing is an act of faith of letting go of scarcity. And, you know, most people like try this, and I tried it when I was totally broke, and things would completely turn around for me. And then just like going on a diet and getting really skinny, I'd give up the diet, I'd give up the tithing, and then I'd end up in the same roller coaster with money. Right. So now I've made it a life mission. And so I'm just tithing constantly. My goal is to tithe $100,000 next.
That's amazing. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. In fact, one of my dear friends, so I'm very spiritual as well, and, you know, study Kabbalism and Buddhist chanting and all sorts of things. I love it all equally and study it all. And one of my dear friends who introduced me to Kabbalah, her husband was struggling. He had been out of work for actually 3 years, and he was a chief technology officer. And so one day, one of our spiritual teachers said, well, do you tithe? And she said, well, we can't. You know, obviously, I'm the breadwinner. We have two kids, and he's not working. And she said, mark my words, I want you to go ahead. And she gave her an amount, which we don't need to disclose, to tithe this over the next 6 months. Within 3 months of doing that, he landed his dream job as a chief technology officer. She left the job she hated, got a better paying job closer to home to be closer to her kids. And it was just extraordinary. And people, I love what you just said though, Shonda, it's about letting go of scarcity. For me, if I ever have a down or a slow month, that is a month where I will donate even more than is comfortable for me, even if I don't have that much extra in my bank account, because I always know it comes back to me tenfold. And I think people wonder, like, what's the success in people who make millions of dollars or lots of money in business? Give it all away. That's it. Look at, you know.
Oh yeah, they're givers.
Look at the Gates. The Gates Foundation, again, I don't want to misrepresent this, but I remember hearing something that Bill and Miranda Gates, I believe, that they set up some sort of foundation to give away like 40% or something like that of all Microsoft does, and yet they still can't even give away their money fast enough because it keeps coming back to them. There's some, check the statistics on that, but I know that there was some great article about that a couple of years ago.
No, Sarah Blakey and her husband, Jesse Itzler, he wrote the book Living with a Navy SEAL for 30 Days. Jesse was saying to me, they're constantly trying to find ways to keep giving it away. Like it just, you know, they both have created billion-dollar companies, and, you know, but it's funny because the ego wants to say, you know, well, they can do that because they have that. But here's the deal. I can't even imagine what it costs to run Spanx every single month.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right.
I
know just one of my programs cost me $300,000 a year. Just one of my virtual programs, right? Like, so I can't even imagine, you know, I only share this because I'm so transparent, and I want to make the biggest difference I can every time I open my mouth. And, you know, I just got a $1 million bill that has to be paid in the next six, 7 months. I also, you know, have new hires that we're hiring right now. You know, we're like 20 short on our goal number for one of our programs, which usually we're over. So that means that there's less income in one area of the company. There's one division I'm looking at closing down right now with another $500,000 that would go away. You know, and I share all of this with you because there's never enough. And then there's always enough.
Yeah, it's
perspective. If you play the game of hoarding, or look, I can spend every dollar I have. I can find ways to spend it, for sure. And it's all needed. Yeah, it's all needed. So that hasn't changed. Like, I know standing here today with a company that's making multiple seven figures a year, I can tell you that the only thing that's changed is my mindset. The amount, like, sure, I don't look at price tags anymore, which is great. It's a blessing. I fly first class and all of those things. I work my butt off to get there.
Shonda, I think I'm losing you a little bit. You were saying you work your butt off to get there, so I want to make sure our listeners heard what you were saying. Yep, I can hear you now. We're on Verizon. I can hear you now.
So I worked my butt off to get here, but you know, the one thing that's consistent is that there really is never enough money for whatever your vision or your dream is. Again, going back to the Bible, your promise in your heart of the vision you want is always much bigger than what you are capable of getting to right now. That's why you have to have deeper faith. And when you tithe, that's an element, that's a proof that you do believe. Do you get what I'm saying?
I totally get it. And it's so funny because you and I didn't even talk about this in our pre-show check-in. And it was so funny because what we did talk about is never using a lack of finances or having or not having finances as an excuse not to do something. And it's kind of like, you know, going back to the baby thing, people are always waiting for the perfect time to have a baby, start a family, to buy a house, to, you know, start a business. And there is no such thing. You have to generate perfect timing. You have to generate happiness and fulfillment and create space and wealth and all of that. But it's just taking that first step and having faith, whether or not you're spiritual or religious, having just faith in your own abilities and trust, whether even if you're not spiritual or religious, just knowing that you believe in yourself. And somebody asked me actually 2 weekends ago, I was in an all weekend seminar myself, and somebody said, "Do you trust yourself?" And I paused. What a great question to ask yourself as a human being. Do you trust yourself? And that could be with anything, personally, professionally, relationships. But I think it's only when you actually can say, yeah, I trust myself. I trust that I'm going to be successful at this no matter what it looks like, whatever obstacles I face. That's real freedom.
It is. But that comes down to what you have to do, what you say you're going to do. It comes down to integrity. Like even like tonight, we're all going to like a birthday, you know, thing, a birthday, not really dinner, but get together. I don't want to go. It's raining out. I've now stood in the rain, like talking to you. I'm not going to be able to do my hair. Like there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to go, but I can't break my word to myself. It's not even about showing up out of guilt or shame. It's about not breaking your word to yourself. I said I was going. I'm what's most important is to never break that word. And that's the same with going to the gym. It's the same with everything. If you just get in the habit of never breaking your word to yourself, not everything in moderation, because that's called like forever failure. You try and live a healthy life and not put on weight or, you know, even like run a company. It's not everything in moderation. It's an absolute commitment. It's an absolute commitment. It's when you do everything in moderation, you actually open up the lines for struggle, right? Because that those non-clear lines create struggle. They create like a miscommunication with you and the universe. But it's about just keeping your word to yourself. So you should trust yourself, because if you don't trust yourself, you don't trust other people. And that just creates more stress. Every time you want to do something, you're actually in conflict with yourself versus conflict with the situation. So it's not about, do I want to buy this house or can I afford it? It's, do I want this house?
Yeah.
Do I want this house? And do I trust myself enough to do what it takes to really have this not be a struggle for me, these payments?
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it's so important what you just said is integrity. There was a great class I did years ago, Landmark Education. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah. So, there's another group I love even more called Ascension Leadership Academy. It just goes deeper.
It's awesome.
I sent my whole staff through Landmark, and then I sent them all through ALA, and 100% of them will tell you ALA was just an explosion.
Oh, cool. I'll have to check that out. I'm always doing different workshops, and I offer my employees scholarships as well, because I think it's so important that no matter what program it is, ALA, Landmark, MITT, there's all these great ways, but it goes back to what you said. And I was just looking at my values this weekend, and my number one value is integrity. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. And the only person you can trust to fulfill on that is yourself. And going back to your earlier point about it, building an email list, the only way that you will successfully be able to build an email list and thrive and create an ongoing following is to do what you say you're going to do. If you break the trust of anybody during like saying you didn't do something, then you're going to break that trust. And it's about getting in communication. You know what? We all screw up. There might be times or occasions where we give our word to something, but it's being accountable in the God forbid situations, not showing up to an interview on time, you know, not fulfilling on a project deadline. You know, be accountable. If you're willing to be accountable, even when you break your word, that makes you an even more trustworthy person, unless you're breaking your word every day. You know, it's like consistency.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. But yeah, you're 100% on point. I was a couple minutes late dropping my son off to school this morning, and I called my fiance and I said, just talk to me about this for a second, because I feel like he's only been in school for 3 months and I just got really sloppy here about like what was more important to me was actually cutting a quick audio before I ran out the door to drop him off at school, which caused him to be a couple minutes late. You know, and he was like, you know, Shanda, at the end of the day, just walk in, acknowledge your breakdown. And he's like, and just leave earlier. And I'm like, I know, because I usually half an hour early.
It's important though, but I just want to make sure people that the listeners heard the point that you just made. Be in communication. That's it. It doesn't mean that it has to ruin the rest of your day or mean that you're a bad person who's going to burn in hell. It just means you broke your word. So go get in communication, be accountable, and don't break your word again about the same thing. Because that's the thing is that if you do it once, great. Now you have an opportunity to reconcile that and to make different choices so that the same behavior patterns don't become a pattern. That way it becomes a different choice when that happens.
That's right. 100%.
Well, Shanda, you've been giving our listeners so much wonderful stuff today. Any other tips or pointers that you would give to our listeners who are out there thinking, well, this sounds good. And yeah, you know, I really have had a lot of my friends, you know, or colleagues tell me I'm really good at X or Y. Any other steps that you would recommend that they take to launch themselves into being successful and being an intro entrepreneur?
I just say that, you know, something that you and I spoke about before, and that is that I don't think money should ever be a reason why anybody says no to anything. It's not possible to say no to life because of financial shortage or lack, and some people might hate to hear me say that, but...
Oh, Shanda, we're losing you again. So I lost you at some people say no because of financial shortage or lack. And I know what you're saying is really important. So I want to make sure that everybody can hear it.
So some people say no because of financial lack or insecurity around money or even debt. And the truth is that, you know, it really is not hard to bring in more prosperity inside of your life. If you build an audience and you start to sell something that you've been really good at, which is, I mean, I have a woman who just cooked great dinners and healthy dinners for her kids, who now has a company that makes $35,000. Right? I just want to make $5,000 a month. I thought that would be financial freedom. My point is that if you have that desire, there's some people who are happy with their money where they're at. They're just happy. They're good. You are great. You know what I mean? And then there's a group of us that complain about it or it causes us stress. Well, if you are that person, it's critical for you to take some self-responsibility around your money. You know, the message that I keep saying out there is being financially self-reliant, right? Rely on yourself for money, because I don't think the job market's going to get better. I think you're going to end up either working for an entrepreneur or becoming an entrepreneur. Everything is going automated. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the way our world's going. It's like my grandma and grandpa cannot believe, well, they're passed now, but before they passed, they couldn't believe the life I was living, right? Like the thought that my son will never drive a motorized car, it'll be electric 100%, right? Like the world is changing and it's going automated, and it's not happening 10 years from now. It's happening 2.5 years from now. And if you just think about 5 million jobs going away, you know, again, I'm not trying to scare people, but there's tons of time right now to get yourself set up financially. And if you don't get yourself financially set up, you can't sit there and blame the fact that you're either out of a job or you're out of money in a few years from now when the economy changes, when the work scope changes. You know, my dad's girlfriend said to me the other day, she's going to like the local college to learn computers. And I just said, I hate to tell you this, but it's too late. I mean, there's no point in going and learning computers. There's nothing to learn because computers are actually taking over. They're taking over accounting. They can actually account quicker, right? I just bought a software that accounts for everything in my company way quicker than my two accounts.
Right? Wow. You'll have to tell me offline what that's called.
Yeah. So, like, you know, there's already delivery trucks that are delivering products right now without drivers, right? It's already here, you know? So all these things are already here. So, like, they even have robots right now that can actually clean your house, go around everything. They're like, they move like a human. My point is that the regular everyday jobs, the Uber drivers, all these things are going away in a couple years. Just a couple years. And so my point in sharing that with you is it is critical for you to build an audience right now and take something that you're really good at and start selling it and paying it forward and getting paid for it, because it is your responsibility to take care of your finances. Don't wait for the world to take care of you. Don't wait for clients, buyers, or even the promotion to come up in your company. And definitely don't bank on your job being there. And I don't mean that from a scare tactic. Your job might be there. It 100% might be there. It might be there long enough for you to retire, but you don't know that. And if you're anything like me, last year when I saw the statistics and saw what was happening, I went, holy cow, I had no idea this freight train was this close. And I had a blessing in my heart, and that blessing was, I'm so glad I figured out how to market to an email list and have real relationships with people that I don't even know. And I've learned how to do some simple things, just two of them, which is build an email list and learn how to sell to it, or build an email list and know how to serve it.
Well, that's awesome, Shada. I think that you're so on point, and that it's about just taking the reins of your life. And Liz Ryan, who's the number one career expert in the world, we were talking about it last week with her book, Reinvention Roadmap, and she was the same one. She said, same way, she was an advocate and said, even if you have a job you like, you should always have a side business and take the reins of your career, because you want to have these other income streams regardless. That way, if, God forbid, your job does get outsourced or becomes automated or robotics or whatever it might become, it gives you your power back. That way, you're not sitting there reacting to circumstances, people, situations. You are in the driver's seat of your career and of your success financially in life, which is exactly what you've been talking about. So where can our listeners find out, join up with your programs, your email list, any of that? Where could they get more information on you?
You know, based on what we were just talking about, what would probably be the most advantageous for people to do is I can give them my 5-day challenge for free,
which is
right now on 5daychallenge.org. We put it on org. So 5daychallenge.org, and I can actually get access to that. The reason why I think that's the best give that I could give with our interview today is because it'll actually teach you how to make authentic offers, which I take you through that part or that piece of, you know, what would you sell? You know, what would you sell?
That's awesome. That will help. Awesome. I'm going to write that down too so I can include it on the archive of the show. So it's 5daychallenge.org. Is that right?
Yep.
Awesome. I will make sure that that's available on the archive of LA Talk Radio's website so that our listeners can find it there. And again, for any of our listeners tuning in case you weren't already aware, you can always find the show on latalkradio.com in the archives there, or on iTunes. It's free to download or subscribe under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And thank you so much to our guest today, Shada Sumter, standing in the rain. We are sure your hair will turn out perfectly for your dinner party tonight. And thank you again for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
All right. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and have a great week to everybody out there in the world tuning in. Thanks again.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.